Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements. There are a number of things that are going on this week and upcoming events and different things, so please take note of those. Does anybody have anything to add to the announcements? If not, then at that time, I ask those that will be receiving Bibles to come forward at this time. Come on up. Yeah. And parents too, with the children? In holy baptism, as parents, as sponsors, and also as a congregation, we make promises to each of the children to teach them the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and to place in their hands the Holy Scriptures. And so, as congregation, we would like to help you present Bibles to your children. And so we have, let's see, we have a Bible for Emma. Yeah, and there you go. And for Abigail. All right, there you go. For Bailey. There you go. And for Kinley. There's your Bible. And that's for you. Take home, read it. Maybe you can read it with your family. Okay, thank y'all. Clem, did you have something this morning? Okay.
As y'all all know, today is Pastor Appreciation Day. And today here at St. Paul, we're appreciating our Pastor Tim. Pastor Appreciation Day means how God has used Pastor Tim in all areas that make St. Paul the great church it is today. God works in many different ways. To accomplish this, God has blessed us with a great Sunday school staff of teachers that prepare our youth for Pastor Tim to further educate them during confirmation. Confirmation is not the only service that Pastor Tim is involved in. God has given Pastor Tim many other challenges also, such as visiting the shut-ins and hospital patients, inspirational and encouragement for families at the loss of a loved one, marriage celebrations, baptisms, Saturday and Sunday services, or some of the responsibilities that Pastor Tim does each and every week. I want to extend a warm welcome to each of you here today and also all the people that cannot make the Sunday morning service and that are listening by radio or whatever, and I ask you to personally extend your sincere thanks to Pastor Tim in your own special way. Again, thank you, Pastor Tim, and enjoy the special day set aside for you. Right. And we also have something right here for you.
All right. Well, thank you, Clem. Appreciate it. Yeah. I just also want to say thank you to the congregation. Y'all have been very, very good to me. Y'all have been supportive and willing to work and do things. There is no way that we could have any of this without the people working, without all of you taking part, participating, and being part in the congregation and in the outreach, the ministries that this congregation does. Thank you very much for all your support, for your help, and for your ministry here in this community. And we begin with our opening hymn, and I don't have my book with, no, yeah, with our opening hymn. I don't have my book with me here, so whatever's printed there.
Oh,
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord. Keep the words of the Lord in your heart. Teach them to your children. One does not live by bread alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, source of every blessing, your generous goodness comes to us anew every day. By the work of your Spirit, lead us to acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, The Church of Christ in Every Age. You may be seated.
Our first lesson for today is from Amos chapter 5, verses 6 through 7 and 10 through 15. Seek the Lord and live, or he will break out against the house of Joseph like fire, and it will devour Bethel with no one to quench it. Ah, you that turn justice to wormwood and bring righteousness to the ground. They hate the one who reproves in the gate, and they abhor the one who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take from them levies of grain, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, the prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. The word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 90, verses 12 through 17. We will read it responsibly. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Satisfy us by your loving kindness in the morning. So shall we rejoice and be glad all the days of our life. Show your servants your works and your splendor to their children. The second lesson for today is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving. for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter again began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there was no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Mr. Gomer, can you hear me? I was having trouble with the mic. Am I good? Okay, thank you. Welcome, children. I have a question as you're sitting down. What month are we in? Very good. What's the holiday? It's Thanksgiving, right? Oh, Christmas?
No, it's Halloween.
Valentine's Day?
Halloween.
Oh, Halloween. Very good. Okay, I need you to do me one favor. Look at the audience. Wave goodbye. Because we're going to go on our own Bible adventure. Pastor Tim is going to go on his Bible adventure. And today you get two Bible adventures for the price of one. I'm going to tell you a short little story, and then I'm going to tell you what God did for his people. I moved to Yorktown in the winter of 2018, January specifically, probably 2 weeks into the new year. And I was new to town, didn't know anybody, didn't know anything, and I promise you, I was a lot skinnier. Despite me being having that, I promise I was skinnier. I was running, and I was working out, and I didn't have any friends, and I didn't know anybody yet. So I was running and running and running, and my friend Katie told me, "Hey, I saw you running. Listen, you're from Austin. That thing's cool over there. Running is cool over here, but you got to carry a stick around or a broom or something." I said, "Why? That doesn't make any sense. That's dumb." She told me, "Because Yorktown has a problem with dogs, and if I'm not careful, one of those dogs could possibly bite me, and that'd be very bad." But I didn't believe Katie, because she was a new friend, and I thought she was saying something just to mess with me. You know, play a joke. So I ran all of winter, January, February, some of March, no dogs, not in sight, not one. And then spring happened, and all those dogs that were inside their house were now outside their house. And I saw them, and they were little. I said, "That's it? People in Yorktown are afraid of these little itty-bitty pups? These are just, get out of here. Get out of here. You can step on one on accident because you're running and paying attention to the road. No problem." So I took from my old house at the greenhouse by the Dairy Queen, I took a right. I got on 119. From 119, I went all the way up to 13th Street. 13th Street, I took a right, cut across, ran. Got on the other highway, Redale Street. I was sped out at Massey Funeral Home. And then I'd go down, and on one day, I decided, let's go left on 12th Street. So we did. We went around a corner, and I had the music in, and I was running. I was good. I was set to break my 2 mile time limit. I was perfect. And then I feel something on the back of my heels. And I said, who cares? Ran a little couple more feet. Feel something again, and just out of, I don't know what it was. Maybe I heard Katie's voice, maybe I heard Pastor Tim's voice, somebody else's voice, watch out for the dogs, and I kicked very hard on purpose, and then I heard, Turn around. Three. Not little dogs. Big dogs. Right here. And so I said, oh, that's right. The dogs. And I picked up a rock, made myself big, and they all looked at me and scared away. I made it back to the main street to run down to Dairy Queen. And I remember an old lady, I would see her on all my runs. She was walking. She'd always have a stick. And I said to myself, the stick. That's right. That's what I'm forgetting. I need to carry a stick now. It's spring. I would never would have known what to do if the people of Yorktown didn't warn me. And the reason why they warned me is because they knew something that I didn't know. They knew something about Yorktown I was clueless of. And I'm very grateful for what they did. So in today's story, God, he tells his people, just before he enters the promised land, he says, do not go to mediums or fortune tellers for advice. If you do, you will become unclean, and I will be unpleasant with you. I am the Lord your God. So in this new land that the Hebrews are about to go into and take, there are people who practice witchcraft. There are people who practice fortune telling. There are people who are mediums. A medium is a person who says they can talk with the dead. That's a lie. That's one big lie. And God says, stay away from those people. They're going to lead you down a destructive path. The reason why, if you knew your fortune, you wouldn't need God. If you knew what you were going to grow up to be, you wouldn't need to pray to God. You would just go to the fortune teller. If you knew you had a test coming and you went to the fortune teller and said, am I going to pass this test? She said yes. She says no. You wouldn't do your homework or you'd study a little bit harder. But you wouldn't need to go to God. Fortune tellers, witches, and mediums are used by the devil to pull you away from God. God wants you to come to him in prayer. He wants you to come to him with all your worries. And of course, if you have anything good to tell, it's always good to tell God in a prayer. God wants a relationship with you. And in the promised land, there were people in there who did things that were against God. And their whole thing was to pull you little kids, you parents and grandparents, away from God. They were used by the devil. So, today's story, King Saul. King Saul and God were not on good terms. King Saul had disobeyed God. And King Saul was very worried because his next battle was coming up. And normally, King Saul had God on his side, which made King Saul undefeated. He never lost the battle because God was always on his side. Except this time when King Saul was praying, God wasn't answering because he was very mad at him. And so what did King Saul do? Went to a medium, went to a fortune teller, and said, I need help. I need to know if I'm going to win the next battle. I need you to call my dead friend Samuel. Please bring him up from the dead. Saul did that, and Samuel said, you broke God's law. You know the rules. You're the king of our people, and you're not doing a good example of being a good leader or a good king. So, when the battle came, Samuel loses. And it's a very tragic story on how he is removed from king and how David enters and becomes king of Israel. What I want you to remember is that you can always depend on God. And other people will always tell you, oh, you don't need to pray to God. There's other ways. I know this old lady, she looks into a crystal ball and she can tell you your future. That's a lie. She's being used to pull you away from God. If you want to know your future, if you want to know what's going to happen to you, who do you go to? All right. Are you going to be like King Samuel and not go to God?
No.
No. Okay. So the witches and mediums, what do? Pull you away from God. They try to take you away from God. So I don't want you to be like King Saul and not go to God. Always go to God for all your problems. Okay? All right. You all have a good week at school. It's Western Days this weekend, right?
Yes.
Are we going to have fun? I'll probably see y'all there.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Seek the Lord and live. Those are the words we heard in the Old Testament lesson today. And it reminds us that life comes from God. Seek the Lord and live. God is the creator of life. God sustains life, and God gives us new life. These words were spoken by the prophet Amos about 800 years before Christ. Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, was in a fairly prosperous time during this time when Amos spoke these words. Previously, they had been caught up in wars with the Assyrians and the Syrians, and the Assyrians had internal trouble, and so their army kind of collapsed, and so Israel was able to take back all the part of the country that the Assyrians had previously taken over. But when Israel moved back into their own territory, what happened was is the rich and the powerful then took over all the land. All that property that had belonged to family farms, to families, to individuals, the poor people, the common people, was taken over. The rich and the powerful just simply moved in and took it, and they became more rich. The poor became poor. Also, what was going on was there was much corruption in the government then. Bribes were being dished out, doled out, and favoritism to different people, and hand-picked people to help serve. Everything was corrupt within the government. Even the marketplace was not a safe place to be. Merchants many times would have two sets of scales. When they were buying some grain from their suppliers, they had one set of scales. And then when they would sell grain to people who were buying grain, they had a different set of scales. And both set of scales were set in the favor of the merchants. There was corruption all around. People had forgotten about God. And God gave Amos a vision that this whole land would be laid desolate, that it would be destroyed. The people would be scattered if people did not change their ways. So Amos goes to Israel. Amos is actually from the southern kingdom of Judah, but he goes up to Israel and he proclaims that message, seek the Lord and live. This is where life is with God. To seek in this instance is not just to look for or to look at, but seek actually means to turn around, to search, or to cling to hold tight to the Lord. Hold tight to the Lord, and you will live. Our gospel lesson has a very similar message to it this morning. A message of life, that God is life, and that is where life is. A rich young man comes running up to Jesus as Jesus is just about ready to leave, and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus goes through the Ten Commandments with the young man, and the young man says, I followed these all of my life. Now, this young man was probably sincere here. I mean, there's no derision or anything coming from Jesus to contradict what this man was saying. He probably was a very religious young man. He did believe in those commandments. He believed in following the laws. He was probably faithful at worship. He did what he knew what to do. He was probably very well respected. One of the thoughts in that day and time is those who are more wealthy, more prosperous, especially those who do not tend to be corrupt or greedy, are just simply blessed by God. They have lived a good life and they are blessed by God. So this is a favored person who's coming up to Jesus and asking, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But yet something's missing in his life. He knows something's missing in his life. He should be happy. He should be joyous. This should be the great life, the good life. He has everything. He has the respect of people. He has money. He has property. He has good friends. Has good family. There's no charges of corruption against him. He should have a good life, but something is missing. And so Jesus gives him a three-part answer. What must I do to inherit eternal life? One is, go and sell everything you have. The second part is, give the proceeds to the poor. And the third part is, come and follow me. the man was missing something in his life. Jesus gives him the way to have a fulfilled life. But the problem was actually in that very question that he's asking. What must I do to attain eternal life? The problem in there is the word I. It was from that attitude. What must I do? I have done everything right so far. I have done it all. And because of that, because I have done so good, God has blessed me. I've worked hard. I followed the commandments. I'm not corrupt. I've tried to do what's right. So God must be blessing me. How come my life is not fulfilled? How come my life is full? It comes from that attitude of myself, of me, of I. I'm the most important. I'm going to make the decisions. I'm going to make the choices. I am going to take my own way. I'm going to make my own way. That's where the problem lies. The answer is that three-part question. One, go and sell everything you own. Get rid of what is getting in the way of God. You know, a lot of times we say, this is what I own. This is my stuff. This is what I have. But a lot of times it's not us who own it. It's that stuff that owns us. It owns us. We are putting ourselves in our own prisons by the stuff we have. And it may be possessions, it may be wealth, it may be money, it may be property, but then it could be anything else as well then too. It could be our pride. It could be the anger that we have. It could be the derision that we have against other, or the hatred we have towards other, the prejudice that we have towards somebody else. It could be any of those things. It could be politics. It could even be family. It could be our hobbies. It could be the things that we enjoy. What has us? What grabs a hold of us and will not let us go? It's not that we own these things. It's that those things own us. And so in this respect, when Jesus tells that man, go and sell everything that you have, he's saying, be set free. Let it go. Let it go. And you will have a weight taken off of your shoulders. Let it go. Just turn it away. The next thing Jesus says is give it to the poor. Again, the problem with the man's question was I. It was me. It was that I in that word. What must I do to attain eternal life? What must I do? Eternal life is a gift. There's another story that's similar to this one. The other one, though, is a trap. It was where a lawyer, a Pharisee scribe, comes up to Jesus and he says, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then he says, and the second one is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And actually, as you think about it, all the laws, all the commandments, all the mandates, everything that God gives us within the Bible falls within these two categories. Love God, love your neighbor. There is no I in that. There is no I to look at and say, this is mine. This is for me. This is mine. This is my choice. This is my, I want to be in control. There is none of that in God's law. It's about loving God and loving neighbor. Jesus tells this rich young man, go and sell everything you have and give the proceeds to the poor. And so as we look at this lesson, it's not what's best for me. It's how I can help other people. How can I serve other people? How can I raise them up? How can I help protect them? How can I make them better? Because when we raise each other up, we're actually lifting everybody up. We're lifting ourselves up as well then too. It is life. And that's what these stories are about. It is about life and having life abundantly. Life comes from God. Life is sustained by God. And life is renewed by God. The disciples question Jesus at this matter because they are shocked at his words. That it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, they believe that the rich people are the ones who were blessed from God. Those are the ones who God is showing favor to. Those are the ones who God is giving all the blessings to. So God must love them more than he loves anybody else. And here Jesus is saying something new. That it is very difficult for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he gives that story here. He says, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now we think of a little needle and we think of a huge camel and it's impossible, right? Jesus may have been making reference to something else here. In that day and time, the large cities, were all walled cities. They had large walls, and then at nights they would shut the gates to keep enemies out, keep thieves out, keep spies out. The gates would be shut. However, a lot of times there would be one gate that would still be left open, and many times this gate would be fairly small. In Jerusalem, the walls around the city, they would be shut in the nighttime, but there was one gate that would be open, and it was called the eye of the needle. It was called the eye of the needle because it was very small. It was sharp, and so if somebody did need to enter in the middle of the night, they would have to come in humility because basically they'd have to bow down to be able to get into this door. And that made it very easy then to defend that gate because you could not just come charging in. You had to go down low to enter into that gate. So that gate was very, very easily defendable. Now think about a small door, short door, and a huge camel. And you'd think it's impossible for that camel to go through that short space. Actually, it was possible for a camel to go through there. It was large enough for a camel to go through there. But it wasn't easy. For a camel to go through the eye of the needle meant that you had to strip the camel clean. It could not have any packages, bags, boxes, baskets, riding gear, any of that stuff on there because it was an awfully tight fit. Everything had to be stripped off of that animal. Somebody had to be on the inside, or multiple people on the inside had to be inside the gates, tugging on the animal to pull it in. And people had to be on the outside pushing it through the hole. You can imagine the scene. And the camel would have to be on its knees to do that. Not an easy chore. So what Jesus is saying here is, yes, people with wealth, people with riches can enter into the kingdom of heaven. But it is difficult because there's always that tendency to think, see how blessed I am? See how hard I have worked. See how much education. See how smart I am to be able to earn all of this and to make all of this, rather than recognizing that this is a gift from God and recognizing that maybe God has given me all these things so that I may be a blessing to other people, so that I may share in this ministry with God of helping other folks. It's harder for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Seek the Lord and live, because that's where life is. The third part of this answer that Jesus gives the man, or the parts of the answer, are go and sell everything you have, give the proceeds to the poor, and then come and follow me. Jesus doesn't give these other two directions lightly, of selling everything or giving them to the poor. He says those things because that is exactly what he has done. That's what he's done for us. That's what he's done for you. That's what he has done for me, collectively and personally. He gave up everything. He emptied himself. God became human. The Creator Himself becomes the creature, becomes a part of us, of who we are. He empties Himself. He humiliates Himself and comes to this earth. And as a human, He gives up everything that He does have. He gives up His trade. He gives up any kind of wealth, property that He may have. He gives up His family in order to follow the will of God, to proclaim the kingdom of God. And even then, He gives up His following. All those people, all His disciples, everyone scatters when time really gets rough. He gives up Himself. He gives up any pride that He has. He humiliates Himself. He does not defend Himself at the trials. He willingly empties and opens Himself up wide as He is condemned and as He is crucified. And then on the third day, He rises from the dead. New life. This story is about life. God gives life. God is the creator of life. God sustains life. And God brings new life for us. Seek the Lord and live. It's when we go our own way, when we say, God, it is me who is the most important. Forget about loving God. Forget about loving neighbor. It's me that I need to take care of. I know what's best for me. I am in control. And when we go down our own path, we're going to be surprised when we get to the end of that path because God's not going to be there. We took the wrong way. We took the wrong road. We followed the wrong directions. Seek the Lord and live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, Take My Life That I May Be. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ,
the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified and Pontius Pilate.
He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day, he rose again
in accordance
with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead, the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us intercede before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of the Church, the world, and for one another. Thank you, dear Father, for the priceless gift of your dear Son. Thank you for the wisdom, mercy, and salvation he brings. Thank you most of all for bringing us close to your heart, Lord, in your mercy. Bestow your Holy Spirit upon this church so it loves you with heart, mind, and strength. Help the church to follow Jesus wherever he leads, it to preach the gospel and serve our neighbors. In word and deed, let it equip all people to find their treasure, joy, and life in Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy. We remember before you Christians who have been stripped of freedom, health, and even life because they prized Jesus above all else. Enrich them with the joy of salvation. Through their faithful witness, bring many to repent and believe in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for blessing our congregation with so many gifts, spiritual and physical. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we always love the giver more than the gifts. Help us to willingly share those gifts with the spiritually and physically poor in our community. Lord, in your mercy. Enrich the hearts and minds of students from preschool through graduate school, and especially students called to be pastors and teachers in your church. Let them love wisdom, seek understanding, and cling to Christ, their highest good and dearest treasure. Lord, in your mercy. Teach the world's leaders, and especially those of our own country, to care for people more than prestige, to love what is right more than popularity, and to use resources and power for the benefit of all. Grant that they should seek your will above partisan politics or personal gain. Lord, in your mercy. We plead on behalf of all who are sick or injured, imprisoned or lonely, addicted or abused. We pray for all who are troubled by the powers of sin, evil, and death. Grant them the joy of your saving help. Especially, we remember before you David Lossman, Lynn Magura, Wayne and Margie Smith, Beverly Feller, Johanna Ivy, Arlen Hansen, Jonelle Martin, Philip Hafling, Kenny Jacob, and Ryan Pressler. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, keep in your care all who have died trusting in you, and console all whose grief runs deep. Sustain, encourage, and refresh us through the toils and trials of this life. Keep us strong in faith toward you and fervent in love for one another. Bring us into the joy of your kingdom. There, with all your people, let us forever feast on your goodness and delight in worshiping our Savior, united in the power and love of your Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Incline your ear to our prayers, dear Lord, and answer them according to your most gracious and holy will. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that you hear us and may you remain silent and let love, and that we may continue to share in your divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King, and we will sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.